Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as come to you, Lord Father, in prayer, we come to thank you, Father, for this blessing to be able to get on the prayer line. And Lord, for each and every one of us to come to give you the praise, the honor, and glory, that we may testify of your goodness and just thank you for all your blessing that you have bestowed upon us daily. And even this day, you allow us to come and be blessed of a new day and to be able to hear one another on the prayer line. So, Father, we come to thank you. And we do lift up our brothers and sisters, each and everyone that come to share, and all those that we knew in the past. Father, we thank you. We pray for the Holy Spirit as we begin this prayer line. We pray, Father, that you send your Holy Spirit up on this prayer line, that we, your children, we show good faith and love towards our Father and our Savior. While we testify, while we share, while we pray, all these good things, because God has blessed us. Oh, thank you, Father. Now we're asking you to bless your word. We're asking you to bless all of the songs, testimonies. Bless us tonight, Lord, as we share. We thank you, Father, as each other come to share on the prayer line. And we pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you for coming on and share. And I just want to read. I'm going to read from the board. I'm just going to read a little paragraph here. And it says, about this time, our subject, trials, if the Spirit of God rests upon the brother or sister in meeting, and there and they glorify God by praising him, some raise the cry of mannerism, and if it pleased the Lord to give me a vision in meeting, some would say that it was excitement and mesmerism. Grieved and despondent, excuse me, I often went alone to some retired place to pour out my soul before him who invited the weary and the heavy laden to come and find rest. As my faith claimed the promise, Jesus seemed very near. The sweet light of heaven shone around me. I seemed to be encircled by the arms of Jesus, and there have I been taken off in vision. Then I would relate what God had revealed to me alone, where no earthly influence could affect, but was grieved and astonished to hear some intimate that those who live nearest to God were most liable to be deceived by Satan. So I just want to thank God for the reading. And my sisters and brothers, do press one. I saw one of the hands that were raised. I'm going to open that line first because I do know that you wanted to share. Amen. I'm going to open this line. I don't know if you're ready or not, but I saw your hand up, and I would like to open your line. Let us open the line for 908-303. Your line is open. Amen. Please give us your name and where you're calling from. Your line is open. If you're not ready to speak, it's okay. It's okay if you're not ready. But you can press one later, and your line still can be open. Amen? So we're going to go to the next line. But if you are ready to give a testimony, we ask that you would just press one, and your line could be open. So we're going to go to the next caller. So we just pray for our sister or brother that has the hand up. We have two up. So we're going to open the first line, 272. your line is open. 272-770. Welcome
Amen.
All. Amen.
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 Thank you so much, Sister Leola, for opening my line. Good to hear your beautiful voice. This is Sister Tymeko from Pennsylvania, and I'm so grateful to be here on this prayer line today. I thank the Lord for everything he has done for myself and my children and my grandchildren. I truly feel blessed. He's an awesome God, and he is so worthy to be praised. So I give him all praise and honor and glory because he takes good care of us, even though we don't deserve it. He continues to care for us. He provides our every need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So I am so grateful to be here this beautiful evening with my beautiful brothers and sisters. And I would like to sing Wonderful Words of Life. Amen. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinners listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to the wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon to, peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Amen. And I have a scripture I'd like to share. But my beloved brothers and sisters, 7 verses 1 through 7, it says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy sayings health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. And verse 7, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen and amen. I thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. And I'd like to leave prayer requests. I'd like to lift up everyone on the prayer line this evening, all my precious brothers and sisters. And I'd like prayer from my family as well, from my children and my grandchildren. Prayer for you, Sister Leola, and your precious Jews, Nicola Jarvis. And prayer for Sister Daisy. Prayer for Sister Powell in Jamaica, blessing her precious Jews. And also Sister Stephanie, I'd like to lift her up in prayer, and KJ and Kaja. And definitely Brother Eli and his mom, Rose. I thank you so much. I lift up everyone. I love you all. God bless you all, my precious brothers and sisters. May the Lord always bless you and be with you abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tymeko, for the song and also for reading, for just sharing your your prayer request with us. And I want to thank you for coming on and sharing also. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to go to the next line because I want to get to everyone. Please press 1, and we're going to open your line. We're going to open the line next for 518-744. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and just listening to Sister Tomiko praising the Lord in song. And thank you, Sister Tomiko, for blessing us with that. Sister Tomiko has been very faithful in sending me encouraging little texts every day, and I appreciate that about her. She is doing God's work in little ways that she can, and that is what God has asked us to do, Sister. And I just praise Him for brothers and sisters that strengthen us day, because wow, Sister, things are heating up. At Kingsbury, our church in Kingsbury, New York, the Kingsbury Seventh-day Adventist Church, we've had relative peace and quiet there for a few years without any controversy, things are going quite well. And a couple of the other people that I were talking as well, things have been too quiet here for too long. Satan has something brewing, and this Sabbath, something brewed, and it was very saddening. We had a young man speaking this past week. He has spoken at our church actually quite often. He is a member, has been a member for 3 years now, and very on fire for the Lord. Just finished the Amazing Facts online evangelism course, and wanting to go out and serve the Lord. And so he's been speaking at our church and always had very good messages. And the last message that he had, which was probably a month and a half ago, was it seemed to be a little, he had a hard time pulling it all together. It was a little bit disjointed and a little bit hard to follow. And we just thought, well, maybe he was having a little trouble getting this one together, which we all do that at times. The Spirit of the Lord moves upon us, and if we're not careful to heed his moving, sometimes we get our messages get a little out of whack. And we started speaking this week, and in our church we have different elders in charge for the month, and I'm elder in charge for this month, so I have to do announcements and make sure the pulpit lineup is all together, and if anybody is missing, I have to find someone to fill in their place, and I, you know, take care of all those little duties and answer the phone calls if anybody's called through the week and take care of all those things. And then during the service, we have somebody, the elder in charge, stands out by the door to greet people to take care of anything that is going on out in the hallway. So I was out in the hallway listening, but it's a little distracting because people are coming in and out, and sometimes people stop and talk to you. And during the message, I heard Billy speaking, and all of a sudden I heard, and God created Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, I don't think I heard that right. And one of our, actually he's not even a member anymore, he was a member of our church for a number of years, and he did not believe in a couple of the beliefs of our church, and he decided to remove his membership. He still comes. He's actually a good brother. He believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and his friend, and but he had problems with a few of our fundamental beliefs. So instead of causing controversy, he removed his membership, which I appreciated that about him. He didn't want to fight about it. He just said, "I can't believe this right now, so I will remove my membership and I'll still come." And he came out and he's like, his face was white. And I said, "Did I just hear what I heard?" And he said, "Yes." He just said that Jesus Christ was created by God the Father. And as the sermon progressed a little bit, it got into anti-Trinitarianism. and how there is no third person of the Godhead, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It is not a separate entity, third entity in the Godhead, and it got quite uncomfortable to listen to, and I was trying to decide, do I step in there and stop this? Well, two of the other elders came out. We only have three elders. They came out and we talked about it and said, you know, we need to see where this is going to see the extent of the error that is being spoken about here. So actually the other elder shut off the Facebook feed. It was a live Facebook feed. He shut that off. So that would not be going out to the other churches or anybody watching online. And we usually make copies of the sermon and give them out to the people after the service. And no copies were made except for the elders and the pastor, so we could listen to that again. And I was very saddened by what I heard, because this error has crept into a fine young man. He is on fire for the Lord, and we are hoping that we can work with this young man and get him to see what this anti-Trinitarianism leads to. And I just wanted to make a couple points on that, sister. But before I did, I had a verse here in 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three," notice it says three, "are one." It doesn't say these two and the Spirit of God are one. It says, no, these three are one. Okay? And to me, that tells me that there are three persons in the God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And when I look at my Bible, I see Christ as self-existent, as being there from time past, from forever. We don't understand that. I cannot wrap my mind around that. But Christ was not created. Christ was always there. And these beliefs lead us into saying that Christ was a created being. If we believe that Christ was created, Satan has legitimate grounds to accuse God of being unjust and unfair. Satan, in heaven, wanted to be part of the counsels of God. He could not be, because he was a created being. Now, if Christ was a created being, then Satan has a legitimate reason to be upset, because Christ being created, Satan being created, they both should be able to share in the counsels of God. If one created being shares, then another one should be able to also. Now, that is just my thought process on this. To be fair, to be just, if we have two created beings and you say one can do this and one can't, to me that's not fair. That's what Satan is saying, that God is not fair. He is not just. His precepts, his laws cannot be kept. And, this train of thought, this anti-Trinitarianism, leads to division in church families. It leads to division in families. We have one couple in our church. They have been there ever since the woman has been there, since before I started coming to the Kingsbury Church, which has been since 1985. So I've been there for many years. She was there before I was, shortly before I was. Her husband was baptized a few years later. He was an unbeliever, and through her witness, she was baptized, and he's been our head deacon for many years. He's a fine, upstanding man. They're older now. He's 80 years old, but he's still full of energy. You would never know he is 80. And this doctrine, she has accepted this anti-Trinitarianism. He has not, and this doctrine has separated their family. He can no longer pray with his wife because they don't agree on the subject, and she says he is worshiping the Holy Ghost, which is a sin, when we believe that the Holy Ghost is a third person of the Godhead. And so if you have any questions about these things, please get in contact with me. I studied this almost a whole year. This was brought to me, and I had questions about it, and I studied it, and with the help of some good brothers studying with me and giving me counsel and reading the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, I came to the conclusion that there are three persons in this Godhead. And to say that Christ was created is blasphemy. It leads us down a path that we cannot go down. So just please pray for the members of the Kingsbury Church, especially for Billy. Billy is 21 years old. He's on fire for God, and I don't believe he knows what he has done yet. He will before it's over with, but it's going to cause great heartache because this could split our church. But we know that God is in control. He will take care of these matters, and we're just waiting on him to give us wisdom to know how to proceed. I mean, first thing, he's going to have to be removed from all of his positions and speaking engagements. That's the first thing that has to be done, and then we'll go from there. But please pray that God will give us wisdom in dealing with this in a Christ-like manner, and that we will bring healing, and we will bring light to this young man's mind so that he will not be led down this path of darkness. So just wanted to share that with the brothers and sisters. Satan is on the move. He is going about as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. But, you know, with good brothers and sisters surrounding us, with the Word of God, with God's Holy Spirit guiding us, we will not be moved. We will not be overcome. And we will not be deceived. So I just want to share that with my brothers and sisters. I am praying for you. Please pray for me and my family. My wife is doing fairly well. Her back is still hurting. And her heart is still not working correctly. But she is getting along fairly well. And the Lord is working with us and giving us wisdom and knowing what to do for her. But please continue to pray and pray for Ashley, my daughter, who is in rehab now. And I've been praying for Sister Leola's son, Jarvis, and Sister Tamiko's son, Taiwan. They're kind of in the same situation as Ashley was and is. And we just pray for these young people. They have so much life in them. They have so much promise, and the Lord can use them to do a great work and have a great testimony for him if they would just allow him to come in and live for him. He would remove these desires, these desires that are taking the life out of them, and he would feel them and give them such a great testimony. They could witness to people that are in the same situation as they were, and they could give them hope. And, you know, you and I, not being in that situation, we don't have the opportunity to give these people hope because we haven't been there. But when these people have been there, wow, what a witness they could have to other people in their situations. So I'm just praying that the Lord will move upon them, that he will take away their desire for these things that have been hurting them and keeping them back from him, and they will get right with him, and then they'll come on this prayer line, they will come into the streets and into the churches, and they will witness for him like we have never heard before. So let's continue to pray for them, and I'll be praying for all my brothers and sisters. So thank you very much, sister, for opening my line, and I just, please pray for me too. I am not discouraged, I am not giving up, but this really rocks you to the core when these things happen so close to your home, so close to the church family, and it's a little bit hard to take, but I've kept my faith in God, and I know that he is going to take care of these situations. So continue to pray, and I will pray for you, and thank you, sister, for opening my line, for being faithful and coming on and hosting. We just appreciate that muchly. Thank you.
Amen, Brother Rick. Thank you for coming on and sharing with us. And I just want to read something when people have the when people think that try to make the Father, the Son, or Trinity. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Go ahead.
Okay. So, sister, you just said, okay, He made everything, and nothing that was made without Him. Now, if Christ was a created being, this says that He created all things. Did He create Himself? And the answer to that is no, He did not create Himself. So if somebody's telling me that God created Jesus Christ, if He created His Son, it says Christ created all things. Without Him, nothing was made that was made, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that they're telling me that Christ created Himself. Well, we know that can't happen. That doesn't happen, okay? Christ and, you know, the Godhead are self-existent. They don't need anyone else to exist. They don't need anyone else to give them life. They are self-existent. We need God to give us life, okay? So there are a lot of errors in this anti-Trinitarianism teaching, and people, they come up with some very sneaky verses. They disguise it very well. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and is divided. Even Brother Wayne, who hosted our first two Advent Light camp meetings down in Cropseyville, sister, you remember being there. Sister Carla was there. Brother Wayne got into this anti-Trinitarianism movement. The first year was just a beautiful time. Brother Wayne was so gracious and kind, loaned us his generator, helped us set up, helped us take down, helped us clean up. The second year, he was very agitated when we came. He complained about everything that we did. He complained about the messages. When I was cleaning up, he told me I should not send my daughter to a Seventh-day Adventist university or college because they were all Babylon. Just going on, and later on I found out that he was part of this anti-Trinitarianism movement, and it separated him. He became very antagonistic and argumentative towards all of us, and it was not a comfortable time. And these beliefs, this mindset separates people. It causes them to be agitated and argumentative towards Christians because they don't believe exactly as they do, and we should not be that way. The spirit of Christ is not to be agitated and argumentative with other Christians, even if they don't believe exactly as we do. We work with them in the love of Christ to show him His love and to show them their errors. If they will be open to be convicted by the Spirit, He will convict them. We cannot convict anyone. So let us just remember that if there is a spirit of distrust, of separation, of antagonism, that is not the spirit of God. That is not the spirit of Christ. That is another spirit, which we know that is an evil spirit. So let us remember that as we continue on in our dealings with others, that when that spirit shows up, we realize that that is not the spirit that we want to be under. So let us not be deceived. Let's be strong in the Word. And sister, this prayer line has strengthened my knowledge and my resolve to stay in the Word. But it has strengthened my knowledge of the Word so that I can refute some of these things now that I couldn't have before. So I just praise the Lord for this prayer line and for the speakers that just preach that Word. You know, that is just powerful, powerful stuff. There is nothing that can stand against the Word of God. We can do nothing against the truth. We can only do something for the truth. Just remember that. All right. Thank you, sister.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. As you mentioned, we're going to leave it at that because I have others to press one, but I want to thank you for just giving us all that because we have to study the word to show ourselves approved. So I just want to thank God for his word. I want to thank him for revealing his word to us because this is what we need to do, study. Amen. So thank you once again, Brother Rick, for sharing that with us. And we're just going to have to lift them up in prayer. The Bible tells us that going to come all kinds of things in this world, talking about Christ, saying this,
Amen.
Saying that, things of the Antichrist. So we just want to give God the praise and his and all the blessing that he give to us by studying and showing ourselves approved. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller to make sure we provide a chance to open their line. So thank you once again, Brother Rick, and we're going to lift all that up in prayer. And we're going to the next line to open, 917-981. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and your where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon, Sister Leola. This is Sister Daisy from Long Island, New York. Coming on today, I'm listening to everything that you guys have been saying, and I know I'm not feeling that well today, but I thank God I'm able to come on and listen to your word. First and foremost, I want to thank God for giving us another day of life that we're here, that we're able to be, we're able to come on this prayer line, and we give God praise, and thank him for each and every blessing that he has given us. I want to lift up everyone on this prayer line, and I send blessings to everyone on this prayer line for every single blessing God has to give. And whoever is going through a silent battle right now, no matter what you're going through and you think you're alone, you're never alone because God is always by your side. No matter how hard things get, never give up. Always keep your faith, always keep your hope, and always put your trust and belief in God, because when he is listening, he's listening, and he hears you. I want to ask for prayers for myself and my family, my children. I also want to ask for prayers for my mother and for myself. I'm supposed to be having surgery coming up in September. So I would really appreciate if you guys would be able to give prayers for me for my surgery to be a success and everything to go well. I also would like to give prayers, and I would like to ask for prayers for my boyfriend, Brandon. He's going through a very bad spiritual battle right now. There are a lot of negative forces around him. He's trying to bring him down. But prayer, more power is what I believe, and I'm asking for everyone to give prayer to him that he's able to fight this and get over with this, because who is ever trying to attack him, they're trying very hard and it's not going to work. But I pray every day and I ask a prayer for him that he comes through the spiritual battle on top, because it's always good always versus evil and good always overcome. And I thank you guys again for letting me come on this prayer line and be able to worship and give thanks to God. And Sister Leola, thank you so much. I appreciate all the prayers that everyone has been doing for me, because Sister Tamiko has told me, and I appreciate everything. And I would like to give everyone blessings and blessings from God, and to lift up everyone in this prayer line, and to always remember God is always on your side no matter what. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Daisy, for sharing it with us. And what is the name that you was giving us again?
Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N.
Brandon, okay, thank you. We will lift him up in prayer. And thank you for sharing with us tonight and coming to fellowship also. So I'm asking that everyone be patient, and we just want to thank you for coming on Advent Light Ministry to share your testimonies and share your prayer requests. And we also want to thank everyone that's in other countries, you know, for coming and choosing Advent Light Ministry to listen to. And may you be blessed tonight, that God's word will be manifest in your life. So as you be patient, and we ask our brothers and sisters, press one to share, I will open the next line. We want to thank Sister Daisy. Sister Daisy is new to the line, and she's been pretty much faithful, and we are grateful to her coming on this prayer line and sharing her her prayer request and her testimony. Amen. Thank you once again, Sister Davis.
Just
be patient. We got a good speaker that will bring a message tonight, brothers and sisters, and that's Brother Akeem. He will be on here tonight, and he will bring the message. So we're going to open the next line for 857. 857-505, your line is open, and you can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Amen. Hello, my beloved brothers and sisters. How are you today, beloved? My name is Brother Eli. Brothers and sisters, I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Sister Mule and Sister Tamiko and everyone. And Sister Daisy. And Sister Mule, I'd like to thank God for his love, Sister Mule, because God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, tonight, Sister Miola, God will touch our Sister Daisy tonight in the name of Jesus. God will touch our Sister Daisy tonight, Sister Miola, in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, God will touch our Sister Daisy tonight. God will deliver her what she's going through, Sister Miola. What Sister Daisy going through? God will deliver her tonight. God will hide her. God will deliver her, Sister Miola. God will give her the victory. God will give her deliverance tonight, Sister Miola, because God is merciful. God is healer. Our God is awesome. Our God is a mighty God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And Sister Daisy, trust in the Lord, my dear sister. I hope you feel better, Sister Daisy. I hope you feel better, Sister Daisy. Sister Daisy, continue to pray for me, my dear sister. Lift me up in prayer. Sister Miola, please lift up me and my mother in prayer. And Sister Miola, I am not a person who bothers people at work. I am not a person who bothers people at work. I am a loving heart. I have a loving heart, Sister Miola, for others in the name of the Lord. And Sister Miola, when people treat me nasty, I just pray for them. I just pray for them that the Lord will change them. And Sister Miola, I'm praying that the Lord will deliver them. And Sister Miola, pray for me that I'm going to work in September, because I need a lot of prayer, Sister Miola, because I want to use my coping skills this year, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I'm praying for Sister Tamiko too. I'm praying for Sister Tamiko and her family members. I'm lifting up Brother Taiwan. I'm lifting up Sister Katie Ann, Sister Keisha, Sister Dalty. I'm lifting up Sister Dalty Jr., Brother Kidney. I'm lifting up Sister Tamiko's friend, Sister Elizabeth, in the nursing home. I'm lifting up Sister Marianne in prayer, Sister Miola, and I'm lifting up brothers and sisters on the prayer line. May God bless you all on the prayer line. And Sister Miola, I'm lifting up my dear Sister Tamiko too, that the Lord will deliver her what she's going through, and I'm praying for her nephews and nieces. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for just being so loving and kind, making Sister Daisy feel so much better. And Sister Daisy, I sure hope that helps you to feel better. I hope that God is working in your behalf to help you and strengthen you, and especially in every area of your life, you know, he wants to take control. So please trust him, as Brother Eli was saying. So, Brother Eli, we want to thank you for being such a loving person. And we know that you have a loving heart. And we know that Brother Eli is always praying for each and everyone. So thank you, Brother Eli, for your, as we say, your patience and your long-suffering like Christ. He say he's patient, he's long-suffering, he loves, he's merciful. And Brother Eli, he has those characteristics. Thank you so much for that, Brother Eli. And now we're going to go to the next. Amen. We're going to have 423-635. Your line is open. I thank you, sisters and brothers, for being so patient. Amen. So 423, your line is open. Amen. You may be on mute.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I had stepped away from the phone. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Sister Loyola, for opening up my line. This is Sister Carla. I'm just giving God praise and honor and glory today for his blessing, his mercy, his love. And I just want to share a reading from one of the devotions. It says, God enjoined upon all his followers to bear a living testimony. Excuse me, sir. Sorry, can I give you this book? Steps to Christ. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry. I gave out a Steps to Christ. It said, God enjoined upon all his believers, his followers, to bear a living testimony in unmistakable language by their conduct, their dress and conversation, in all the pursuit of life, that the power of the true godliness is profitable to all in this life and in the life to come. A chief Christian character works more harm in the world than the character of a worldling. For professed Christians mislead others by professing to represent him whose name they assume. God is love. Whoso dwell in God dwelleth in love. All who have indeed become acquainted with the love and tender compassion of our Heavenly Father will impart light and joy wherever they may be. Their presence and influence will be to their associates as the fragrance of sweet flowers, because they are linked to God and heaven and the purity and exalted loveliness of heaven are communicated through them to all that are brought within their influence. You can surround your soul with an atmosphere that will be like saffron from the heavenly Eden. So, brothers and sisters, let us surround ourselves with a heavenly atmosphere. Let us look unto Jesus, which is the author and the finisher of our faith, and know this is not our home. And let us, you know, share it with others and not be like that our character may not be of earthling, of those disobedient children, but as obedient children of unto God, that our professional as Christian will not be misled, and that we will rightly represent our Savior Jesus Christ in our words, our dress, our diet, whatever we do, that others will know that we are his believer and his follower, and we just don't have a name and we don't have the character of Christ. So may the Lord help each and every one of us to come into formity, come into uniform, and come into Christian love as we ought to. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing that with us. Most certainly, we have to give me just a second, take on that character. And that's, the Bible says, by taking on the character of Christ, you know, we have to become holy, and we have to pick up his, all of his traits that he said that we need to get to heaven. So I just praise God for my brothers and sisters on here as we, on the prayer line, you know, we all desire and want to be like Christ. And so, but we got to continue to practice. We got to continue to reach for that goal. Amen. And as we are here, we want to be able to lift one another up in prayer. So brothers and sisters, we're going to go into prayer. But let us, we don't have anyone else that press one. But we're going to ask our brothers and sisters, we're going to pray. Because if we all then press one and we still have some time, so why don't we all offer up a prayer for one another or for someone? And I would begin with Brother Rick. I'm gonna ask Brother Rick if he will offer a prayer. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna ask Brother Rick if he can offer a prayer. So Sister Carla, I'm going to ask you for a prayer, if you can do a prayer afterwards, or amen. So let me just open Brother Rick's line, and he can offer a prayer. Let's open Brother Rick's line. Brother Rick, are you
amen,
still on?
Amen, sister.
So Brother Rick, we have time for Brother. Well, amen. Yep. So can you offer up a prayer for brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
We have about 20 minutes or 15 minutes, and we're going to all pray.
Yeah.
Because there's a few.
Okay.
It's a few of us on, and let us offer prayers for brothers and sisters that normally come on the line and they're not here. So let us pray for them.
Amen.
You can begin, Brother Rick.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Amen, sister. Let us seek the Lord, brothers and sisters, and we can kneel, we can bow before him as he is our creator and sustainer. So, Lord, we just come before you this evening, Lord, lifting up ourselves to you, Lord. We are sinful, tainted creatures, Lord, but you loved us enough to send your son Jesus to come and die for us, Lord. You have made us of infinite worth, Lord, because of your sacrifice. Lord, we just come before you thanking you and praising you and just giving you all the glory, because without you, we would be dead. We would be forgotten forever, Lord. And you have given us the chance to live eternally with you, to share in your glory, to share in your goodness, to share in your kingdom, Lord. I don't know why you would do this for us, Lord, but you loved us enough to do all these things for us, Lord. And we will accept that, Lord, not because we deserve it, but because you are worthy. And Lord, we just want to thank you for this, Father, tonight. Lord, you see each person on this line tonight, Lord. We lift up each one of them to you. But I especially want to lift up my sister Leola and her family, Lord. Her husband Ray, her son Jarvis, her daughter Nicole, Lord, and their children, Lord. And Lord, I have a special burden for Jarvis just because he's in the same situation as my daughter Ashley. You know, you see them, Lord. You are seeking to save them, Lord, in every way possible, Lord. His Father, please send your spirit to work upon them in a mighty way, Lord. And Father, while we're praying for Ashley and for Taiwan, we just want to pray for Ashley and Jarvis. We want to lift up Sister Tamiko's son, Taiwan, Lord, who is also become a slave to these substances, Lord. And we want to lift him up, and his mom and his dad and his brothers and sisters, Lord, too. Lord, it affects whole families. Lord, we just pray for these young people, Lord. Yeah, change their hearts, Father. Take away those desire for those
substances that rob them of their dignity, of life, of everything good, Lord. Oh, Lord, keep them until they can come to you, Lord, until they can accept you as their Lord and Savior, until they can be in that saving relationship with you, Lord. Keep them alive. Keep them going, Lord. If you have to take them, Lord, make sure, Lord, we just pray that they would be in that saving relationship with you before that happens, oh Lord. But Lord, we want them to come on this line and offer up their testimony of how you saved them from their addictions, Lord, how you brought them out of that life, how you've given them a testimony and joy and peace and love and kindness in their hearts, oh Lord. Father, we know that you can do this. You can do all things. The scriptures tell us that nothing is impossible with you. You can do all. We can do all things through Christ. Oh, Lord, we are claiming that promise at this moment for these young people, Lord. Father, be with each family represented here. Be with my wife as she is having health issues. I know there are many on this line that are having health issues, so, Father, we just lift them up to you. We're just in awe of your goodness to us, Lord, because we see that we don't deserve it. Lord, I want to lift up Billy to you as he was speaking in our church, Lord, and he has been, the enemy has infiltrated his mind and caused him to believe in error, Lord. And, oh, Father, I pray that he would have a humble heart, that he would listen to counsel, and that he would be corrected and restored, Lord, to you and to the church family, Lord, so he does not have to be removed, Lord. Know that this could happen, but Lord, we are trusting that you will do the right thing, that you will give us wisdom to do the right thing. That no matter the consequences, Lord, we will leave them with you because you can do all things. You are the convictor of hearts, Lord, convictor of minds. Not us, but Lord, give us the strength to do the right things at all times, Lord, in whatever situation we are in. We just heard Sister Carla giving out a steps to Christ, Lord. We just praise you that she is out there spreading the good news to you others, Lord. Please continue to bless her in her ministry, Lord, in each one of our ministries, Lord. We have books that we want to give out. We have tracts, and we have information that can save these people's lives, Lord, can point them to you, Lord. Please give us the opportunity and the holy zeal to do this, Lord. You and Sister Powell, and she is away in Jamaica, Lord, ministering to those young people, Lord. Please keep her, guide her, give her strength, give her help, Lord, and keep her until she can return to us and witness about all that you have done for her, Lord. Father, we just thank you. And we praise you, Lord, for the messages we hear that strengthen us, for the beautiful people on this prayer line that encourage us, and just let us know that God is still working, that you are still in control no matter what we're going through. And we thank you, Lord, we praise you, and we just bless your holy name. We thank you that Brother Eli is on, Lord. He is always coming on and praising you and asking prayers for his mom and his friends and his, all the people that he comes in contact with each day, Lord. And he has such a kind and loving heart. And Lord, his heart is wounded many times. He has come on crying because someone has said something mean to him, Lord. But he does not retaliate as the world would, Lord. He brings it to you, Lord. We just thank you for his example. Please continue to strengthen him, O Lord. Guide him and bless him and his mom and all the folks that he is praying for. We just lift them up to you. Guide us, Father. We thank you. And we love you, dear Lord. We just praise your holy name. May you be with our speaker tonight, Brother Akeem, who is such a godly young man. We appreciate his messages, Lord. Please be with him and his family. May he be able to get on time and bring us another powerful message from you, dear. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' blessed holy name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Oh, thank God for the prayer. Thank you, Brother Rick, for offering the prayers up for the children, for our children that need it so badly, and even us, you know. So we're going to go to the next, as we're going to have someone lift you and your family up. Amen? So we're going to ask Sister Carla. I don't know if Sister Carla has a lot of time, but we're going to open her line right now. Sister Carla, you're traveling?
Yes, but I can pray.
You can hear me? Okay. Yes. Lift Brother Rick. Lift Brother Rick up a special prayer, because we do know he's going through so much, because it's his wife. He got the help. He's got to do all the work now. So we ask God to protect and protect him. While, and then you got to work on his job. So go ahead, Sister Carla. Amen. And Sister and Brother,
Amen.
Because he's driving. But go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see if it's better.
I can hear you.
Okay, amen. And maybe I just want to sing one stand, the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. Do I have time before I pray?
Oh, go ahead, yes.
Okay, is Brother Akeem on yet?
No. Brother Akeem will be on in about another 10, 15 minutes.
Okay, so
we have time to pray.
Amen. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempest near by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Oh, kind and loving Father, as we take this time out to commune with you, in our hearts, O Lord, in our mind, in our soul, O Lord, which belongeth to you, Lord, we ask that you will help all unrighteousness, Lord. Please have mercy upon each and every one of us, O kind and loving Father. I ask that you will forgive us of our darling sin, that we will cease from sinning, O Father, because you're coming back for a holy people. You're coming back for a righteous people, O Lord, and we can be holy through the blood of Jesus, Lord. You have made provision for each and every one of us. And I lift up the unspoken prayer requests. As I lift up each and every one of my brothers and sisters, those that are viewing, listening via the internet, I lift them up. You know each and every one of us, them, you know their prayer requests. You know their thoughts. You know their worries, their pain. You know how the devil is trying to sift them, Father. But I ask that you will rebuke that enemy in the name of Jesus so that they can be victorious, Lord. And I especially lift up your servant, Brother Rick, oh Lord. You know the trials that he's going through. You know the heartaches and pains in his heart, oh Lord. Even at the church, oh Lord, the enemy has come in, Lord, and it's going to use every and anyone who leaves the door open, a door that sin and unrighteousness and disbelief and disunity will come in and disrupt your people, oh Lord. And I bind that evil spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord. I ask that you will bless Brother Rick, Lord. I ask that you will give him wisdom and understanding and knowledge how to deal with others, and especially those in the home, in the church, oh Lord, in the community, Lord. Give him more of your Holy Spirit, oh Lord, more of endurance and patience oh, Lord, to deal with the tests that are at hand. Lord, bless him as he's providing for his family and helping his wife and encouraging her as a faithful husband, praying for her to be an overcomer and to be healed of her infirmity. Lord, bless her in a marked way. May she give her heart to you, her heart to you, and surrender all to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Have mercy upon our dear sister, Lord, on Ashley and her children and Brother Rick's other daughter and her husband or fiance, Lord. We ask that you will touch them, Lord. Touch the community at the Queenberry Church, Lord. Bless them, O Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will receive a healing within the church and the community, that they will come together to know that there's only one true God and that they will worship him in spirit and in truth, Lord. Bless, again, each and every one of us, the unspoken prayer requests, all the those that have come on the prayer line, all those that are on right now, Lord, you know their desire to serve you and to be healed, Lord, and to be strengthened and encouraged in these last days. We have to go through trials and tests, Lord. Help us to overcome and not to give up our faith or to abandon our position, Lord. You have given us our marching order. You said, go ye into all the world, and we have to baptize, we have to testify, we have to show them the love of Jesus, and we have to proclaim the good news and not be ashamed of the gospel, Lord. Help us, O Father, in the name of Jesus, that we will study to show ourselves approved, that we can be victorious and we can be unified in love, Lord. We thank you again for blessing. We thank you for hearing. Fill your manservant as he come before us, Lord. Touch him with your Holy Spirit, O Father, in the name of Jesus. Create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit, O Lord. Bless Brother Akeem, O Father. Strengthen him. Be with his mom, his family, his dad and his family a whole, and those that he ministered to, Lord. May his presence touch their hearts, Lord. May his presence, as he come in the presence of others, that they will know that he has been with you, O Lord. May he study and gain wisdom and knowledge to feed the people aright, that nutrient food of the gospel, O Father, because your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, Lord. Help us, O Father, again to love each other and to be unified and to forgive each other and to help each other and strengthen each other with our prayers, with our love, with our speaking, and with our long-suffering. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praying for us and lifting up Brother Rick and his family and the prayer line as a whole. We want to thank our brothers and sisters for being patient. And sisters and brothers, we're going to continue to pray as I lift up some in prayer. But I'm going to ask that another would pray before I pray. I'm asking that we continue in prayer because we do know prayer is the key and faith unlocks the door. So sisters and brothers, let us pray. Let us pray that faith that we are having together, that God will unlock the door for Sister Daisy, then for Brother Rick, for Sister Carla, you know, for myself and for Brother Eli and Brother and for all of us, Sister Tamika. You know, we need God right now. We need him to unlock these doors of mercy and that he can pour upon us. And maybe someone's sick. Maybe someone is stressed. And it's so many things, sisters and brothers. Sister Carla has a lot of work on her hand. We need God to send a blessing there. We need blessings. We need this prayer to be resting in Jesus. So let us open the line for another, and we're going to ask for a short prayer. And Sister Daisy, I know you got it in you, so we're going to ask you to have a little short prayer also. Sister Daisy, do you mind praying? We don't want to force nothing. We're going to ask you, do you mind, Sister Daisy? Are you still there? Let me make sure I can hear you. Okay, well, maybe she's not able. So we're going to go to the next. Amen. But Sister Daisy, we will keep you in prayer, okay? We are still praying for you. Let's ask Sister Tamiko. Let's see. Sister Tamiko, we are continuing this prayer on, brothers and sisters, because we are praying for our brothers and sisters that are not on with us tonight. Sister Tamiko, are you able to pray?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for opening my
line. Okay, can you give us a short prayer? Yes, can you give us a prayer? Amen?
Amen.
And if you want to just sing a little short song before you, it's almost going into that little song. It's going into like a humble and a for God, you know. So go ahead and do your prayer.
You
amen?
Okay. Thank you so much. Now, dear Lord, as we pray, take our hearts and our minds far away from the press of the world all around to your throne where grace does abound. May our lives be transformed by your love. May our souls be refreshed from above. At this moment, let people everywhere join us now as we come to you in prayer. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Father God, we thank you for this precious night, dear Lord. We thank you that you bring us all together, that we can all fellowship together. We thank you that we're all here, Father. We thank you for waking us up this morning in our right minds. We thank you, Father God, for keeping us as we slept through the night and you woke us up this morning and put breath into our lungs. We thank you, Father, for the food on our table, the clothes on our back, the houses that we all live in, the cars that you provide for us, because you provide our every need according to your riches and your glory through Christ Jesus. And we're so grateful you brought us together. Father God, I lift up on this prayer line Sister Leola and her precious family, Brother Ray, and I lift up her precious Jews, Nicole and Jarvis. Father God, you know all about them. We ask that you continue to bless, guide, and keep them, Father God. We ask that you cover them under the blood of Jesus, that no weapons form against them shall prosper. And please be with them, walk with them along life's narrow ways, Father God. And we'll be sure to give you all praise and honor and glory, because you're so worthy to be praised. Father God, we lift up Brother Rick and his wife, who has not been feeling well. Dear Lord, we are asking for a miracle of supernatural healing in her body. We ask that you heal her, Father God. You are the great physician. You are the doctor, Jesus. So we are asking for total and complete healing in her body. Father God, we know there's a healing balm in Gilead, Jesus of Nazareth. And we are asking for you to touch her even right now. Let her feel your presence, Lord Jesus. Let her know that you are with her even right now at this moment, Father God, and that you can do all things but fail, because you are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are the Prince of Peace. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You are everything to us. You are Emmanuel. God is with us. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for what you're going to do in advance for our precious sister. And we're asking for prayer for Sister Ashley and all of her children and all of her siblings. Please continue to bless them, Father God. We ask, too, that you give them a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Walk with her along life's narrow ways, Father God. You know everything about your daughter. We ask that you continue to provide for her, strengthen her. Help her to see the need for Jesus. Help her to know that you are there for her no matter what she is going through. All she has to do is call on you, and you will be right there for your daughter, because you said you love her with an everlasting love. You said you would never leave her nor forsake her. You said you love her, dear Lord, and you will always be there. So we thank you so much for this beautiful love, this unconditional love that you have for each and every one of us on this prayer line tonight. And Heavenly Father, we are also lifting up Brother Eli and his mom, Rose. Continue to bless, guide, and keep them as well, Father God. We ask that you cover them under the blood of Jesus, Father. Keep them protected from the enemy, because the enemy is walking about like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone, but we know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So, Father God, we are lifting up Brother Eli and all of his precious friends that he is praying for. We know he's praying for Brother Javel, Sister Tatiana, Sister Ebony, and he's praying for Sister Shamika. He's praying for Brother Samuel, and he's also praying for Brother Jamal. So please bless his friends abundantly, and dear Lord, help them to change from their wicked ways. Take out their stony hearts. Please, Lord, give them a heart of flesh. May they remember, dear Lord, who you are and that you're in control and that you have the final say. May you give them the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and self-control. Father God, we need you each and every minute, each and every hour. Lord, we need you. Father God, we are also lifting up Sister Carla and her precious children. Continue to bless her, dear Lord. We know she's a hard worker, Father God, and she's continuing to show love and compassion to everyone, and she is a nurse, Father God. So we are asking that you bless her, Father God. Dear Lord, give her a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Watch over her. Watch her going in and coming out, Father God. Please place a hedge of guardian angels of protection around her car, around her home. Place the blood of Jesus over her doorpost and over her window post, over every area of her home. Please protect her, Father God, for she is your precious daughter. And she is doing your will, Father God. It's your will that we want to do, not our will, but thy will be done. So we love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for this precious sister, but we ask that you continue to keep strengthening her and being with her, Father God. We ask that you be her rock and her fortress and her strong tower. We also lifting up Sister Powell and Sister Stephanie. And Sister Powell is in Jamaica, dear Lord. Please continue to bless her ministry. Bless her precious Jews in Jamaica. Bless them, dear Lord, abundantly. Continue to watch over them. Guide and keep and protect them. I ask, too, that you cover them under the blood of Jesus, that no weapons formed against them will prosper, because we know the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. Continue to bless Sister Stephanie and her precious Jews, KJ and Kasha. Bless them, Father God. Be with them. Strengthen them. You know what they stand in need of. We are asking, too, for that special job that you have in line for Sister Stephanie, that we know that you will work everything out on her behalf, Father God, because she is your precious daughter, and she is asking, Father. You said, ask and we shall receive. Knock and the door shall be open. Seek and we shall find. So, Father God, we are asking for your help, because we could do nothing without you, as you are the vine, we are the branches. You are the potter, we are the clay. We need you, Father God. So please continue to bless each and every one of us. And we also lifting up the speaker tonight, Brother Akeem James. Please be with him, Father God. Strengthen him and give him the words to speak, Father God. Let the Holy Spirit fall afresh on him. Give him a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Help him, Father God. Show him and tell him what you need him to say. Continue to bless him and his family, Father God. We thank you so much for him, and we're so grateful that he is able to come on and speak, dear Lord, and teach us, dear Lord, what we need to know about the Bible in these last days. So we thank you so much for each and every person on this prayer line this evening. Continue to bless Sister Daisy and her precious children as well, KJ and Jeff and Alana, and bless her beautiful brother, Brandon. We are lifting them up in prayer too, Father God. You know what they stand in need of. You know every hair on their head. Father God, you knew them when they were in their mother's womb. You know their beginning and their end. This family needs you, Father God. Please, we ask that you have mercy upon them, Father God. Give them your precious grace and mercy. Dear Lord, we ask too that you cover them under the blood of Jesus. Strengthen them. Yes. Hide them, Father God. Please hide them in the ark of safety. Hide them behind the cross of Calvary, dear Lord Jesus. Hide them in your righteousness. Father God, we know that you will take care of your children because your word never returns void. We stand on your promises, and we thank you in advance for what you will do for each and every one of us on this prayer line this evening. So we love you, Lord. We desire, dear Lord, to always do your will and put you first. We declare your word, dear Lord, and we thank you again for everything that you do for us. We pray in spirit and truth. We leave now in your precious care and keeping in the precious and matchless and mighty name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Tamika, for touching everyone. And I just want to just lift this collectively. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Father, for all the prayers that has been prayed. And Lord, we agree, all of us agree to the prayers, Father, that has been lifted up by each person. So we thanking you so much, Father, for allowing each voice to be lifted up before you. And now, Lord, as Brother Akeem is here on the prayer line, Lord, once again, we lift him up to you, Father, asking that you bless him, Lord, as he bring the word to us. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and feed him your word, Lord Father, that he may give it to us, Lord, as you would have him to do. So, Father, thank you so much for your manservant. And, Lord Father, I'm asking you to bless him and keep him, Lord Father, his family, and all that he has, Father. And all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. Brother Akeem is on with us, so let us open his line. Amen. 301. Give me just a second. 301, your line is open. Your line is open. Brother Akeem, 301. Brother Akeem, brothers and sisters, our speaker. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to just share once again. And thankful to the Lord and to the prayer line just for the opportunity to speak this evening. And so this evening we'll be looking at a concept here before we get back into our study of prophecy. We'll be looking at some things as it concerns how God made man and how he desired man to develop. And as I cover this having an understanding that not all of us are able to be there at this time in the context of what we're about to study. But at the same time, by God's grace, it is something that we should press forward to, a goal that we should aim for, knowing that the Lord is able to bring about the fulfillment of that aim, of that goal. And so let's have a word of prayer as we commence. Father, illuminate our minds and draw us ever closer to you. Strengthen us to do thy will, O my God. And guide us. May Jesus be uplifted. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. So we're going back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. As we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we see that God made the creation, and then as his crowning act of creation, God made man. Now, once he made man, then right after he did that work of making man, he entered in to rest. In other words, he ceased creating as it concerns the world. And so he created the order of man, and of course that person who did that was none other than Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, if we hold our fingers in Genesis chapter 1, and we go to the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians in the New Testament, it tells us there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, speaking of the Father who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And then speaking of the Son, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The literal translation of that in the Greek would be the one who is preeminent over creation, meaning the one who was there before the beginning began, the one who was there before the beginning began, and the one whom God brought the beginning into existence. So when it says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, the Word was, meaning the Word was there before whatever that beginning was happened. And so speaking of the Son, it says he is preeminent over all creation. Verse 16, for by him, speaking of Jesus, were all things created. So you see why it says he's the firstborn of every creature? In verse 16, it says, for by him all things were created. The idea is not that Christ came into existence before all creation, but rather that he is preeminent over all creation. And as a result, all creation came from his hand. Hence it says, for by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him
and for him. And the reason that that took place, friends, is that you can read in the powerful book Patriarchs and Prophets, and it reveals to us in the first few chapters why Christ created the world. It is because his deity was challenged by Lucifer. And so as the manifestation within the eternal counsels of God, God had planned providentially that around the same time that Satan would make an attack on the very deity of Christ, that God would be prepared. How so? By causing his son to create this world, which was a proof to unfallen worlds and unfallen angels, and even to the angels that would fall with Lucifer, of Christ's divinity. Not just of his divinity, but the depth of his deity, that indeed he was God in the highest sense. And friends, to be God in the highest sense means to be uncreated. There was never a time that Jesus was not. And so Jesus, as we go back to the book of Genesis now, we see that Jesus was the one who made the world. As a matter of fact, sorry about that, Hebrews chapter 1 actually reveals that not only is he the creator of our world, but of worlds. You read this in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It states there, from verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and notice this, by whom also he the worlds. In other words, how did God make the worlds? By Christ. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom the Father also created the worlds. So all the worlds, fallen and unfallen, that were made, this is the only world that fell, all the other worlds that were made as well, were made by the Son of God. So as Jesus made the world, notice the Bible also calls him, as we read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, I believe it was, actually 15, that Jesus Christ is the image of God. He is the image of the invisible God. And so as we look at this now, the one who is the image of God, Jesus Christ, the God of worlds, the God of the universe, the God who created all things, as we just read, this God was the one who made man. So the Father is the creator of the world through the Son. And the reason that he did it that way is because at that very time, the deity of the Son was being challenged. And so as this happens, what took place now? It says in Genesis chapter 1, after Christ had gone through the 6 days of creation, or after he had gone through the 5 days of creation, the sixth day came, and it says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And so this is one of the reasons why I said it wasn't just that the Bible acknowledges that the Son as creator, the Father is also acknowledged as creator in Revelation chapter 4. God the Father is also creator, but there is a medium through which he created the worlds and this world, and that is the Son. So the Son is also creator, and we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, powerful text. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The word move there actually means, in the literal Hebrew, it means to shake violently. In other words, the Holy Spirit had a part to play in the work of creation. So the Father created through the Son, the Holy Spirit working along with them both in some way, shape, or form. So this is why the Bible, even though Christ was the direct agent of creation, all three members of the Godhead were somehow involved, whether directly or indirectly. Hence the text says, not let me, but let us make man in our image. So notice, what we just noticed, according to Colossians chapter 1, that Jesus is that image. Jesus is the image of God. So in other words, when God made man, man was supposed to reflect the very likeness or image or character of Jesus Christ. So what Christ was in this world when he came was what Adam was made in the likeness of, but soon fell from. Christ came into a fallen world and lived an unfallen life. Even while having a fallen nature, he lived as Adam should have lived. In other words, a life without sin. And Adam lived like that, and Eve, for a time. We don't know how long that was. But then they fell from their innocence. And so the Bible says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And look at what God says. Look at what part of the likeness is. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. The book Education, page 15, states, when Adam came from the Creator's hand, he bore in his physical, mental, and spiritual nature. So not just the mental and the spiritual. So it's not just like, it's not just that Adam looked like God in character. It's the mental and the spiritual, but also in his physical. There was something about Adam's physical appearance that had a likeness to his maker, this statement says. When Adam came from the Creator's hand, he bore in his physical, mental, and spiritual nature a likeness to his maker. Now, friends, we will only know what that truly looks like when we get to glory. What it means to physically look like your maker, to physically look like God. God created man in his own image, and it was his purpose. Now, listen to this. It was his purpose that the longer man lived, the more fully he should reveal this image. Do you see that? So when God made man, it was not a static creation. When God made man, man was not all that he could be. He was perfect, but yet had the capacity of continuing to grow. It was his purpose that the longer man lived, the more fully he should reveal this image, the more fully reflect the glory of the Creator. We get the character aspect from. All his faculties were capable of development. Their capacity and vigor, that's strength, power to do things. Their capacity and vigor were continually to increase. That means, friends, when God restores us to Eden, when there is Eden restored and paradise is restored, you can only imagine what we will be like after the 1,000-year period. But friends, when God recreates the world and we continue living, you can imagine the order of beings we will be. Not just in the capacity to grow mentally and spiritually, but the capacity to even grow in strength. Because this is what it says here, vigor. That's vitality. Their capacity and vigor were continually to increase. Friends, that is going to be restored. It was never God's design that the older man gets, the weaker he becomes. That's what happens in the context of a sinful world. But in the context of the world made new, it will be God's desire, and that desire will be fulfilled for all the redeemed, that the longer they live, the greater their strength will be. The greater will be their vigor. They will not become weaker, but stronger. Friends, that is powerful. That's what God had in store for man and what he still has in store for the redeemed. So God created man in his own image. in the image. So meaning in this way, God created man. God created man with the capacity to grow infinitely. Right throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, he would continue to increase in capacity and vigor. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So notice that. That's powerful. Man is made in the image of God. Woman is made in the image of God. And both of them combined actually reveals aspects of God that we see in the family, right? So it's not that we can't reveal the image of God as an individual. But there is something about man and woman coming together that also reveals the image of God in a unique way. So friends, this is powerful. Now, it's very interesting, and we'll come back to this next week. I just want us to see the environment in which God placed man that was conducive or that was the most appropriate for him to grow in his capacity and vigor. Now, we're going to read verse 28 and study that next time. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, there are a few things that God gave man now in order to do this. How would man grow in capacity and vigor, in strength, to accomplish this work of being fruitful, of multiplying, of replenishing the earth, of subduing it, of having dominion over it? Friends, the first thing that God gave man in order for him to accomplish that was the proper diet. It says in verse 29, right after God says this, it says in verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb of bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you, what it shall it be? To you it shall be for meat. That is for food. So we're seeing here, this is powerful. When God originally made man, one of the things that he gave him appropriately, that he gave him, in order for him to accomplish this work of being fruitful, of multiplying, of replenishing the earth, of subduing it, of having dominion over the entire world, over the entire creation of earth and all that was in it, is he said, man's mind and body must be able to operate at full capacity. One of the things that I will give him that will enable that to happen is I would give him the proper diet. And that diet would give what? It would give strength. It would give proper thinking. It would give the ability to think properly. It would strengthen man and give him vigor. So God did this. And as he did this, the reason this is powerful, this is where we get our understanding of fruits, grains and nuts. This is what is being explained in verse 29. The fruit of a tree yielding seed. Fruits, nuts, grains. All of these things were given to man in order to help him to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue. But friends, there was another thing. And friends, we know that, of course, it is proven. Let me not say we know, but it is understood that these things were given to man for his strength. That's why such things as the tree of life are restored in the Garden of Eden. And by partaking of that fruit, what happens? Eternal vigor is maintained. So God was giving man food, and this kind of food that he gave him was in the absence of literal meat, meaning the flesh of animals. That's why many people in society today, they're coming to the realization that in order for me, at least to the normal extent, of course there are always certain exceptions of how people eat, But the thing that God designed from the beginning, and many people are coming back to, is the understanding that a flesh-less diet, a meat-less diet, eating the appropriate things such as fruits, nuts, grains, later on was added vegetables, eating such things would only aid in giving man strength and the ability to live longer, that he might what? Just live? No, but rather fulfill the purposes of God within the short time span that we have in the context of a sinful world. And so, friends, this diet was given when the world was perfect. And this is the ideal that God is calling his people back to. The ideal that was manifested in Eden, as closely as we can come to it, we must come to it. So that was one thing. Man's diet was given to him in such a way that it would aid in pushing forward his capacity for continual growth and continually growing strength. This was one of them, right? So that he can be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the earth as the leader that God had called man and woman to be. But there's another thing that God gave man that would be conducive to his spiritual, mental, and physical growth. And that is listed in verse 8. This is powerful. Verse 8 is where this is listed. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. I want to read this statement from Education, page 130. It says, when consideration is given to man's opportunities for research, how brief his life, we're just mentioning that, how limited his sphere of action, how restricted his vision, how frequent and how great the errors in his conclusions, especially as concerns the events thought to antedate Bible history. How often the supposed deductions of science are revised or cast aside with that readiness to assume to the assumed with that readiness the assumed period of the earth's development is from time to time increased or diminished by millions of years. And how the theories advanced by different scientists conflict with one another. Considering all this, shall we, for the privilege of tracing our descent from germs and mollusks and apes, consent to cast away the statement of Holy Writ? So grand in its simplicity, God created man, listen to this, in his own image, in the image of God created him. Shall we reject that genealogical record, prouder than any treasured in the courts of kings, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God? That's in Luke 3:38. Rightly understood, both the revelations of science and the experiences of life are in harmony with the testimony of Scripture to the constant working of God in nature. So what is she saying here, simply put? This is why science is not evil. It is bad science that's evil. Science, rightly understood, reveals its maker, as she just said. Rightly understood, both the revelations of science and the experiences of life are in harmony with the testimony of Scripture to the constant working of God in nature. So what is being said here, what is being revealed, is that the further back we go in time, what do we find? Man was greater in his capacity and vigor. So far back that as you go back to the time of Adam when he was created, friends, Adam was not a dumb ape. Adam was not the mixture between a transition between ape and man. Adam was not the descendant or sharing a similar line of descent from apes, friends. Neither was he a germ nor a mollusk. When Adam and Eve were created, they were created in the very image of their maker, which means their capacity for growth and vigor were huge, way more than we can ever imagine today. Way more than we can ever imagine ourselves having today. Not until we get to glory will we not only see what Adam and Eve were like, or Adam was like, but we will also grow into that and beyond. And so, friends, what God is revealing to us here is not just that the earth is young through this statement, but it's also revealing through this statement in Education, page 130, that the farther back you go in history, in terms of the history of men, the smarter, the more powerful, the greater capacity man had. So it's contrary to, let me say it this way, not science, it's contrary to false science, to so-called science. And friends, many Christians have adopted this idea, which is the term that is used is called theistic evolution. That's what it's called. The idea that God used the processes of evolution to bring man finally into existence. Friends, this is not, and the reason that that is placed forth is that it is hard for man to grasp by faith that Christ could literally create the world in 6 days. It is hard for mankind to believe that God has that much power, that he can do it that quickly, that instantly. And so how do you sweep it away? You make the first two chapters of Genesis symbolic, allegorical in nature. It didn't really happen like that, literally. It really, each day of creation is a symbol of millions of years, is what many in the scientific world are saying, if they do believe in the Bible. It is hard for them to believe that God created the world in 6 days, literally, six 24-hour periods, and rested on the seventh. But friends, this is the record of Holy Writ. It tells us that God did do this. And to continually give man the opportunity of growth, expansion, and strength and capacity mentally, God not only gave man a good diet, but he put him in a good place. Notice what it says here in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And look at who he put there. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the eyes and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So friends, what we're seeing here is a powerful thing. And now notice what God gave man to do. It says the name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold that is, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that it compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. I think we read about that also in Daniel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Syria. And the fourth is Euphrates, which we also read about in Daniel. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. Now notice what man's work was. And I should say Euphrates was mentioned in Isaiah. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So notice the original place, the original diet was a diet without flesh. Along with this, God gave them the opportunity to partake of the tree of life, a tree that perpetuates life eternally. Along with this, God put them in the right place. Actually, friends, he put them, as we just read here, in a garden. That was man's home. He actually lived outside in creation. That's crazy. for us to think about today. But friends, and in the context of what we're reading right now, no one upon the face of the earth, the whole earth was an entire country space. Hundreds upon hundreds, thousands upon thousands of acres. The entire world, a singular country. Adam living in the country, in a garden. This is where God put man, and he said, this place, a garden, where his work will not just be to name animals, but his work will be to tend and dress this garden. In other words, Adam's occupation was manifold. It was a manifold occupation. He had the work of what? It was multifaceted. He had the work of being with Eve as a husband, being fruitful, multiplying, subduing, replenishing the earth. And he also had the work of tending first to the garden, and you can only imagine what would happen as they went out to the world and did with the world the same thing that they did with that garden. Friends, so what we're seeing here is the original occupation of Adam, one of the original occupations of Adam, was that of a gardener. Friends, God placed Adam in nature. That's where his home was. And it is the same thing that God is trying to bring each and every one of his people back to before the end of time. Even in a fallen world, he's trying to bring us back to this ideal, to put us in a place that is in nature that ever reminds us of God's power and his creative work. For the heavens declare the glory of God. Nature declares God's power. So around us, we would ever see the reminder of God's power to recreate our hearts. And secondly, or we saw firstly, God gave man not only a proper place that would ever remind him of God, and in beholding, man would continually be changed as he saw the work of God and the love of God in his handiwork, but also he gave man the proper diet. And friends, it is proven today that that diet that was given, which many are turning back to, is actually the diet that is most conducive to proper thinking, to proper living, to physical strength. Friends, it is the diet that is the best for man. And so, friends, God placed man in the country with a proper diet from the very country that man was placed in. He placed him in a garden from which he could even eat. And so, friends, as we continue studying this, we're going to see next week that it is our work to begin returning there, but to do it in wisdom and not in fanaticism, but in wisdom, not impulsively, but having proper preparation to do so. And so I pray that this made sense. And with that, we will close with prayer. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that you will be with us. Give us a good, nice rest. Protect us. Lord, help us as we continue studying. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
And amen. Brother Akeem, I want to let you know we had a conversation in reading the scripture, John 1:1, earlier, because Brother Rick had questions. Well, he had brought some information to the prayer line about a brother that was in the church, and they had confusion. So I just want to thank God for his blessing that you brought and explained this to everyone on the prayer line about Christ. Christ not created, but Christ is the creator. So it is a blessing, and I thank you for bringing this to us, because we know this, but yet people come in bringing this false doctrine, trying to tell you that Christ is created, was created by his Father. So thank you, Brother Akeem, for I think Brother Rick has hung up. But we're going to thank you for tonight for bringing this message to us. May God bless you and your family. And we thank all the brothers and sisters also for coming on and sharing and joining the prayer line. So we want to say good night, brothers and sisters. I'm hoping that you enjoyed that message and learned something, or you probably already knew that confirmed you. So God bless, and everyone take care. May God keep you and bless you throughout this week until we see another Sabbath. Amen. God bless. I'm going to close out what. So thank you again, Brother Akeem, for this message. So God bless you and your family. Amen.
Amen.
And good night, brothers and sisters.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, His child and forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer. Redeemed, redeemed.